have, you know, people on that I like. And this guy, we followed each other on Twitter for a little bit now, but we got to kind of know each other a little bit in the Titans press box, getting up there talking and seeing each other walk around. And I think we're some of the younger people that are there, so that has a good fit to it. So I wanted to definitely get him on. He knows his stuff. He covers NFL for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Jordan Dejani. Jordan, my man, how you doing?
Zach, my dude, what's going on? My press box buddy, doing well. Appreciate you having me on.
It gets quiet up there sometimes, and it freaks me out. So it's good to look around and see people that I know.
Absolutely, I appreciate you coming to me and say, "Hey, are you the bald dude with the sunglasses and your Twitter picture? Are you Jordan?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm Jordan. Are you Zach? Nice to meet you, man." So glad to make a friend this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and by the way, congratulations. You make looking bald look good. I was talking about that with Bruno earlier. Like, there's some people that can be bald, and it's a real pitiful existence, I feel like, for some people. But you make it look right.
Yeah, dude, I'm blessed. I don't know what happened with that. Like, I'm Arabic, so I can, like, grow a good facial hair and all that. I think that helps a lot. But I'm glad it really works out for me, because once I started shaving my head, the hair stopped growing back, so now I don't have a choice. Now I have to rock it. But my hair always sucked anyway, so now I have my definitive style, and I'm very happy with it, so I appreciate that. Very blessed.
So let's switch it over to some NFL talk. Obviously, I want to get your reaction first to this past weekend. Obviously, you were there with Titans and Bengals. You know, what were some of your key thoughts that now that we're 72 hours away from when that happened, maybe more even, I'm not good with the math, but what are your thoughts, you know, post-Titans-Bengals, Titans being eliminated?
I mean, I don't even know where to start. It's kind of still hard to digest. It's pretty ridiculous that the Titans can tie an NFL record for sacks with 9 and still lose the game in 19-16 fashion. You know, if you told me the Bengals were going to score 19 points heading into the night, I thought Tennessee would emerge victorious. I mean, the atmosphere seemed really great. Everyone was excited for Derrick Henry, who had a pretty solid outing, 62 yards on 20 carries. But Ryan Tannehill, man, I've always been a big Tannehill backer. I think a lot of Titans fans who watch him understand that the national narrative behind him saying that, you know, he's kind of worthless in terms of he just hands the ball off to Derrick Henry and doesn't do anything else. You know, we understand we can disagree with that narrative. But there's been a couple of times now in big games where he hasn't been able to rise to the occasion. And we definitely saw that in Nissan Stadium on Saturday night where he was throwing balls behind wide receivers. He was making wrong reads, whether that was a read option or an RPO. 3 interceptions. Those are backbreakers in the playoffs. You can't have that from your franchise quarterback. So I left Nissan Stadium feeling very different about this team's direction than I did when I got there initially.
It is such a strange feeling because everybody's going through, and I feel like looking, just talking about the Titans specifically, there is this world where it feels like you're stuck with Ryan Tannehill, because we've seen it now 3 times where you go back to the 2019 AFC Championship where Derrick Henry isn't taking over the game for them, so Ryan Tannehill doesn't have to sit back and just watch this monster run, but he needs to throw the ball. It doesn't work out. Then you go to the Ravens last year. It didn't work out. And you go to recently here, 3 interceptions against a Bengals team and a Bengals defense that was essentially beatable. Knowing the contract limitations, I'd be very shocked if we see a trade that sends that contract on anywhere. So it feels like this next year, you're just stuck with Ryan Tannehill, and you know he's not going to be able to take you to the promised land because we've watched the movie. We watched the movie 3 times, so we know it's going to happen. I don't know, and you say, okay, now 2 years from now, Ryan Tannehill, you know, we moved on from him, got a new quarterback. That's 2 more years of, you know, another year under the belt of Derrick Henry, and how much longer is his prime going to hold on? And, you know, the defense is definitely not going to look like that. So I feel like it feels like this weird world where the Titans are stuck until they can get to a chance to rebuild.
Yeah, I think it's accurate to say that the Titans are stuck with Ryan Tannehill. But at the same time, being stuck with Ryan Tannehill is not the worst thing in the world. You know, it took me a couple days to digest to see what happened on Saturday. And when I kind of sat down and looked at, you know, the contracts and the situations that we were looked with, that we were looking at, you know, I would rather have Ryan Tannehill than a lot of other quarterbacks in the NFL. And due to his contract, like you brought up, he is going to be your quarterback likely in 2022. So now what do you do to try to improve your roster? To me, I mean, it comes to filling in some spots on defense, notably the secondary at the cornerback position. I want to beef up the wide receiving core as well. Julio Jones was that splashy addition, but obviously he was not the same dominant specimen he was with the Falcons. I have no idea why the Josh Reynolds signing didn't work, because he looked great in his, like, three games with the Detroit Lions. I want to beef up the wide receiving core. I want to give Ryan Tannehill some more options to work with. And then my mindset's going to kind of be, well, hopefully if the Tennessee can rebound and, you know, again be the number one, number two seed in the AFC next year, whatever it might be, hopefully things will be different in that postseason now that we've kind of filled in some holes, especially on offense. And I understand this offseason is incredibly important when it comes to the makeup of your roster, looking at the offensive line, trying to retain Harold Landry, which is going to be tough. But you're going to be with Ryan Tannehill. That's been established. So now you've got to try to build around him and see where you can go.
You know, and I've heard that too, and I'm not trying to, like, debate you or anything like that, but it's just something that's it's been so strange to me that I've heard people, you know, Tannehill just needs better tools around him. And I sit there and think, I'm like, what? I mean, what does he need the AFC Pro Bowl team to be a good quarterback? Because if that's so, he's not a good quarterback.
Right. I mean, no, that's 100% a good point. And I'm definitely not trying to say, oh, the Titans would be in the Super Bowl if only they built around Ryan Tannehill correctly. That's definitely not my point. But I do think that they could have been better at building around him. I mean, I think everyone anticipated the Julio Jones signing to be bigger than it actually was.
Right.
And now you have another offseason where you're going to be faced with adding some other talent to your roster. And like I said, you know, you brought up, we've seen this movie before. You know, it's kind of become Ryan Tannehill's reputation now in the postseason. I think he's 2-3 with Tennessee, and I think he's lost every game where he's completed more than 8 passes or something ridiculous. So, I mean, that's just kind of your mindset moving forward in terms of just trying to beef up the rest of your roster so that you give him a chance, so that you give him the confidence that he's apparently lacking in the postseason, so that this Titans team can fully potentially reach their ceiling with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. Can it be done? I'm not sure. But that's kind of the moment in the situation we're facing right now.
We're talking with Jordan DeJohnny. You can follow him on Twitter at Jordan DeJohnny. He covers the NFL for CBS Sports. Now, let's flash forward to the future now, and we have the NFC and AFC Championship happening this weekend. Looking at this Bengals team, I saw a video on Twitter today, too, of one of the local beat writers. They were simulating the game atmosphere at the stadium, pumping in crazy amounts of crowd noise, getting ready for Arrowhead. Earlier this week, we heard from Joe Burrow talking about, you know, so far none of these NFL stadiums have even touched playing in the SEC at LSU and all that. Do you think he's going to be in for a wake-up call come to Arrowhead, or is he right on that where none of these NFL stadiums can match a college environment?
You know, I don't know why this was, like, such a controversial thing. Like, I'm definitely more in tune with the NFL than I am college, but I went to the University of Tennessee, and I've seen a lot of SEC football games, and I've been at a lot of NFL stadiums, too. Like, the environment's just a little bit different. That's not to say that NFL stadiums can't get loud. No one's saying that, but I really didn't think it was that controversial of a take. Now, if there is one stadium that's going to be absolutely crazy, it's definitely going to be Arrowhead Stadium. So, you know, I think the noise could definitely play a factor. I don't think it's going to be the X factor in the Chiefs advancing to yet another Super Bowl. But, you know, I did see that video on Twitter, too. I thought it was pretty interesting. They're trying to simulate that. But, you know, when it comes to this matchup, I mean, the Bengals, they haven't been lighting it up offensively in the playoffs. I know that they, you know, outscored the Chiefs in the regular season, actually earlier this month, I believe. But they scored 26 against the Raiders, and it came down to the very last play. Just 19 points against the Tennessee Titans. They're really going to have to pick it up. They're really going to have to get Ja'Marr Chase going as more than he already is. You're going to have to get T. Higgins involved, Tyler Boyd as well. You're going to have to be resetting and rethinking about trying to outscore the Chiefs once again. So that's really what it comes down to. I'm picking the Chiefs to advance in this matchup, but when it comes to the spread at 7 points, I have zero idea what I'm going to do. I have to write my picks column for CBS Sports tonight. Still don't know what side of the fence I'm on. But, you know, just watching that Chiefs-Bills game this past weekend, it's hard not to like the Chiefs, you know, just to advance to the Super Bowl again. This offense is humming. They're getting a little bit healthier. Tyrann Mathieu didn't practice today with a concussion. He's still in protocol. But it's kind of poetic justice, right? I mean, the Chiefs, they got blown out of the Super Bowl last year. And then they started this season in dreadful fashion. Everybody said Patrick Mahomes has been figured out. This Chiefs team may not make the playoffs, and they've been able to rebound to this point here. And that's why I kind of think the Chiefs should be favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Jordan, let me pass you over now. Ray Dosky wants to ask some questions. Ray, say hello to Jordan.
Hey, what's up, Jordan? What's going on, man? I do agree with Zach. The look you've got, the bull look, does compliment you well. You definitely get away with it, man.
Appreciate it.
So, I think you kind of answered a part of my question, because I was going to ask you. We're seeing two games this weekend, which is going to be rematches of the offseason, of course, with the Chiefs going against the Bengals and the Rams going against the 49ers. I was going to ask you, is there an underdog you actually do like this weekend? I know you spoke a little bit about the Chiefs, but is there an underdog you do like this coming weekend?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually still considering taking both underdogs just with the spread. I don't know if that's going to actually what I put pen to paper with. But, you know, I think the 49ers have a better chance to upset the Rams than the Bengals do the Chiefs. I mean, we saw it just in Week 18 a few weeks ago. This 49ers team is so interesting, and I feel like Titans fans should be paying attention to them, too. We keep talking about Ryan Tannehill and, the quarterback can't take us to the promised land. Well, look at what the 49ers are doing. I mean, they gave up a king's ransom to find Jimmy Garoppolo's replacement, yet this team is, again, on the doorstep of making the Super Bowl. Throw out last year because they had so many injuries that hindered their progress and stopped their ceiling. But, man, this 49ers team is just built right, and they just need a quarterback to come in and just make a couple throws, be a game manager, be efficient, and that's what Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of fighting to do here in the postseason. I mean, we saw the defense win against Dallas. We saw the special teams quite literally win against the Green Bay Packers last week, the number one seed in the NFC, the proverbial Super Bowl favorite all season. That says something about this team. And, you know, the Rams, they've had some great performances, some great plays. Matthew Stafford's throws down the stretch in Tampa last week were absolutely incredible. But they haven't been able to put, a full 60 minutes on film that makes us think that they could upset anybody in the Super Bowl. So the 49ers as underdogs are definitely a team to eye right now.
Jordan, let me ask you a question. I asked this yesterday. Would you rather have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback or Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback in the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm not even going to take a second to think about that. It's clearly Ryan Tannehill.
Well, there you go. See?
Ray and Bruno disagreed with me. You look at the numbers, Jimmy Garoppolo finds a way to win. I don't know what it is. But his teams win. And you look at the winning percentage, it's not just like a fluky this year thing. It's been his whole career in San Francisco. His winning percentage is insane. It's higher than Peyton Manning's. So
yeah, I was going to say that's kind of where I would disagree is that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't find a way to win. I think it's the rest of his team and his coaching staff that's backing him that sets up a great game plan for him to be efficient and play his role. That's what really gets it done. The physicality of the 49ers team we've seen week in, week out throughout the regular year, especially when they're making their streak towards the end of the regular season. That's been what's been ruling the day for the 49ers. It's certainly not on the arm of Jimmy Garoppolo. He didn't even throw for more than 2 touchdowns in any single game this regular season. So he's an okay game manager, but I think Ryan Tannehill actually adds maybe just a little bit more to the offense than Jimmy G does.
I just want to say thank you, because that's what we've been trying to tell this guy forever, and he is on the Jimmy G bandwagon.
Jimmy G's the best quarterback in the NFL, and I will hear nothing less.
We try to tell him that he almost gave up the game twice in the playoffs, once against the Cowboys and then last week. I mean, he almost gave up the game. But anyways, now that we're past that, I was going to ask you this. Jordan, do you see either Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady coming back?
Playing. I actually do think Tom Brady's retiring. I'm pretty sold on that right now. I haven't talked to anybody. I do want to say this, though. CBS Sports was actually the outlet that broke that story. We broke it on Saturday or Sunday. I think it was Saturday, a full day before ESPN and everybody else was talking about it. Mm-hmm. That was our guy, Jason LaCanfora. And, just all the context around the situation, Tom Brady's always been the guy that's like, I'm going to play till I'm 50, 60. That's what all his teammates say as well. And all of a sudden, we get a random report in the middle of the playoffs saying that he's rethinking his situation and everybody else in the building is seeing him do so. That's weird. And that's why I do think Tom Brady is going to end up retiring. And that's obviously going to be a huge story in the offseason. Now, as for Aaron Rodgers, no. I think he's going to play next year. But as for what helmet he'll be wearing, we aren't sure just yet. I've always maintained that he was not only going to return to the Green Bay Packers for this season, which I was correct on, but that he was going to finish his career with the Green Bay Packers. Yet, my mind is somewhat being changed now after their exit in the divisional round as the number one seed. That's the kind of loss that could maybe change your mind. You know, if you want to go try to see if you can find greener pastures for the, you know, the last couple of years of your career, that's a loss that could change his mind. So I wouldn't be shocked if Aaron Rodgers stayed in Green Bay. I wouldn't be shocked if he was traded elsewhere. But I would be a little bit surprised if he did hang up the cleats the same year Tom Brady does.
Jordan, my man, I appreciate you coming on. I know you're up there near my way, up north of Nashville. We need to get together. You need to come over to the crib sometime. I'll put some ribs on. We'll smoke out. It'll be great.
That sounds great. Let's do it. Let's broadcast live from the Moby Dickey studio.
Hey, we'll do it. We'll do that. I was actually there this afternoon for a meeting, so I'm always down to do that, my man. Jordan, thanks so much, my man. Thanks for jumping on. We'll get you down the road.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
You can follow him on Twitter, @JordanDeJohnny. Once again,